This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 98 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And it's nice to be back on a regular schedule, right? I mean, the bye week was great. We got to put our feet up, have a stress-free weekend, and it was a hell of a weekend to be a college football fan and a hell of a weekend to not be obligated to be changing the channel or anything like that. So from that perspective, it was good. But back to being on a regular schedule. Cheers to that. I hope y'all enjoyed the interview I had with Parker White last episode. If you haven't checked it out, I highly encourage you to. It was a very fun conversation and the first athlete interview for the podcast episode. But turning my focus to the task at hand here, I am super excited to once again announce that I will be coming back to Columbia for this game this weekend. Going to be in attendance at Willie B for the A&M game. So I just want to apologize in advance if the post-game episode is a little delayed because I'll be traveling back home and or if my voice is shot. I am notorious for losing my voice at sporting events, at concerts. I don't know what it is. My vocal cords are just not made to yell for 4 hours and to be smashing things and things like that. So you have to bear with me if there's a delay and or if I sound like kind of like Patrick Mahomes, you know, with the raspy voice like that. But nevertheless, before I get into the pregame segment, I have a little bit of a week in review news and notes from around USC athletics. No scores to report as of the day I am recording, but women's basketball, that's right, we're talking basketball, no surprise here, ranked number one in the AP preseason poll. I mean, that was a given. And also, the SEC media picked South Carolina to be SEC champions and have Aaliyah Boston as the preseason player of the year. I didn't know they do preseason player of the year, but if Aaliyah gets that and then ends up with the player of the year to go wire to wire would be awesome. Zaya Cook also named preseason all-SEC team. Also, women's tennis got a note. Sarah Hamner is the ITA Carolina regional champion. First time since 1988 that a Gamecock has won that tournament. Shout out to Sarah Hamner. I remember last year, she had won, I think, the national championship or something like that. So she kicks ass and is incredible for women's tennis. A couple of news from football before I dive into the game preview. Safety RJ Roderick has entered the transfer portal and is no longer with the team. That one, you know, it kind of stinks. You know, you never want to see someone who has played for the team, who has played quality minutes, leave. I was a big fan of RJ. I was hoping he was going to take that next step. It felt like this year lined up for him for that, but he's been banged up. I think trying to get a fresh start for his last year of eligibility probably is for the best for all parties involved. So wish him nothing but the best. And we do have some bright young talent currently on the team in that position. Also on the injury front, Shane Beamer said that everybody except Corey Rucker should be good to go for this game. That means Christian Beal-Smith, who was questionable as of last weekend, seems to have improved a lot. And Boogie Huntley, who was up and down, didn't play in the Kentucky game, I don't think. He should be good to go, along with Devonnie Reed and everybody else. Which brings me to the official segment for the Texas A&M preview game. The Gamecocks will be taking on the Aggies, who have a 3-3 record, 7:30 p.m. Saturday night in Williams-Brice in front of what will surely be an absolute insane, crazy crowd. And again, your boy is going to be in the building, bringing the heat, can root him in for y'all. I am so ecstatic it was a 7:30 game. Football gods aligned for the Gamecocks and for me, selfishly, to see those lights. I mean, I am so excited. I got chills already. This week has been going so slow because I am just itching to get into Williams-Brice Saturday night. And, you know, but with this game, it's really this, all right, here we go again with Texas A&M, right? Every year, it's like, all right, here we go again with these sons of guns. I'm not going to go into the statistics of this matchup since we've been paired with them because we all know the sad truth. And I honestly still get bothered with the fact that they are our permanent rival in the first place. I don't know who to be angry at for that. I've ranted about this at length over the years. I ranted about this last year. Why in the world are they our permanent rival? We had a good thing going on with Arkansas, who, yeah, I know they beat us this year, but nevertheless, the two Big 12 teams who joined at the time were A&M and Mizzou. I don't know why they are not permanent rivals. It makes no darn sense. Whatever. I hate that. I hate their cult-like fan base, and I hate their cringy midnight yell, which I don't even think is at midnight. I saw that they're going to gather at 10 p.m. They're trying to gather at the State House. It's not midnight. Frauds. Bunch of frauds. And I hate that there's a trophy on the line in this game because we barely know it exists because we've never won the damn thing. Just very annoying with A&M. I think I rank them on my annoying teams. Not teams I hate. Don't have grounds to hate them. Just annoyed. And I'm just tired of the same old result with A&M. But enough is enough. You know, before the season started, I laid out a couple of games that this staff had to say enough to. The first one was Kentucky on the road. And the next one was this matchup against Texas A&M. And what's funny is that, you know, at the start of the year, A&M, they had all the hype in the world. And they bought in this top recruiting class. And the start of the year looked like this was going to be another huge challenge on the schedule. And a game that is going to be a tough challenge for the Gamecocks like A&M normally is. But this year, the season has gone kind of sideways for A&M. So, kind of tough to say. Now, going into this matchup, just like us, they are coming off their bye week too. But just talk about two different vibes around two different programs at the halfway point in the year. You look at A&M, they have suffered an embarrassing upset loss at home to App State. They've lost their last two out of three games, hung in there with Alabama, but they lost on a very head-scratching play call that people were furious about. And there are just a lot of weird vibes coming out of that program. And Jimbo Fisher had this aura around him for a few years now that he was the savior of that program. And he was the salt of the earth, all that jazz. I think that might be starting to crack a little bit. Meanwhile, you look at South Carolina, and the vibes are sort of the opposite. Team is coming home after a huge win, riding a three-game win streak. Playmakers have emerged. Feels like the bye week came at a really good time to get healthy, but also improve on all that has happened in the last few weeks to try to only get better. Now, as I said, A&M has a 3-3 record overall, 1-2 in the SEC, just like us. But it's interesting with A&M because they've recruited incredibly well for the last few years. And while they had a good year last year, it really doesn't seem to be clicking this year for whatever reason. Offensively, They rank last in the SEC, scoring only 21.5 points per game, so call it 22. Defensively, they're pretty stout, only give up 18 points a game. They also do give up a good bit of yards, though, eighth in the SEC in yards given up per game. And when you look at a lot of their games, it reflects that, with most of them are low-scoring affairs, tight games, where it's clear that the defense is keeping them in the game, but the offense just kind of stinks and can't put any points. Does that sound familiar at all? Especially from fans of Carolina who watched this team last year? Does that sound familiar to anybody? But all kidding aside, it's kind of funny because when you look at these two teams this year, there's a lot of similarities statistically. Not just the SEC record. Total yards per game, 332 for A&M, 389 for Carolina. So that's a good bit. Pass yards allowed this is. 175 per game for A&M, 179 per Carolina. So 175 to 179. Total yards allowed, 365 for A&M, 354 for Carolina. Passing yards, 213, 244 per game. Now, where South Carolina holds the advantage is points per game with 33 over 21.5. And I also think the momentum within the program and home field advantage will play a humongous factor in this game. It's impossible to know what's going on in the building in College Station, but it just seems like this team is all out of sorts. And for them to have to get on a plane and travel and then come into a hostile environment after dealing with multiple heartbreaking losses, that just feels like a tall task. So you kind of look at it and feel like maybe the stars are aligning once again, where A&M has not played well on the road as well. Carolina may be hitting a stride. It's going to be very interesting to see, which brings me to my crows to the game. Now, for any new listeners, I don't do keys to the game. Everyone does keys. We have our rooster crow, and I have our crows to the game. So for the whole team, my crow is to bring the SEC physicality. Now, we saw that for the whole game against Kentucky, but prior to that game, we hadn't really seen it for four quarters. So now that you've done it once, you need to do it again. And although A&M might be having a weird season, they are still very talented. Like, it feels like a sleeping giant. They are desperate for a win. We cannot afford to be caught napping. You need to be fast and physical and furious from the first play of the game. On the offensive side of the ball, my first crow is feed the hell out of Marshawn Lloyd. Simply put, A&M's run defense is kind of ass. They're 13th in the SEC in rushing yards given up per game. Marshawn has been hitting his stride these last few games and needs to be the engine that drives this offense. It's not time to get cute with things. Stick to the basics, be stubborn with establishing the run, and giving Marshawn the ball, and good things should come. Additionally, I mean, when you think about it, this should also be a good opportunity for Juju McDowell and now CBS to get going with, based on how A&M's run defense has been. I hate putting out numbers and things like that, goals. Just I'm a big fan of just go out, win the game. But for some reason, having a premonition of 175 yards on the ground, that feels like a magic number. If our backs can combine for that much, Marshawn, Juju, CBS, maybe you get a Marion Brown on a jet sweep, maybe you get Jaheim Bell doing a couple. That feels like a magic number that we can maintain control of the game, rhythm of the game, dominate the time of possession. Second crow, finish drives. A couple of times in the Kentucky game, the offense was in prime position to come away with points and just simply did not. Either from turnovers or dumb penalties pushing us back, that can't happen. Right now, South Carolina is sitting at a 3 to 3.5 point underdog at home. But if you put that aside, you're trying to beat a team that you haven't before. And so, simply put, you cannot leave points on the board. So not only are you technically trying to have an upset. You're trying to shake off some bad juju. Different kind of juju. Our juju's good. But Satterfield needs to game plan simple. Keep it simple. When they are inside a field goal range, you just cannot come up empty-handed. Don't need trick plays. Give the ball to Marshawn. Give the ball to your playmakers. No high-risk plays in that range. Trust that you have a good kicker in Mitch Jeter, and trust that you have playmakers both on the outsides and in Marshawn. Now on the defense, my first quote of the game is send the heat. Last game, that pass rush was the best we've seen all year, and that aggressive mentality needs to stay in place. I wouldn't mind if Clayton White brought a good amount of pressure throughout the game, honestly. You know, there was some speculation that A&M was going to have to start a backup freshman quarterback, but seems like their backup turned starter, whatever his deal was, Haynes King, whatever, he'll be fine. But his numbers are average at best. I mean, really. His completion percentage is nothing to write home about. And when I see that, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I am just licking my chops to make the quarterback hurry and hopefully make a mistake. So got to send the pressure. My second crow is mind the gap. I feel like a British person getting onto a train saying that. Mind the gap. But I say that because each of the defensive players who had a press conference this week, Zach Pickens being one of them, said that they all said very similar things in that A&M's running back, Devin Akan, he's shifty. I think it's Akan, a chain maybe actually. But they all said that he's shifty, meaning he's not going to try and bowl over someone at the line and just use brute strength a lot like Chris Rodriguez does. But rather, he's going to move around and find a gap and surge through that. So because of that, our front seven needs to hold their gaps and not overshoot in coverage to not open up any running lanes. Be disciplined, in other words. And if they can do that, gang tackle this guy, not letting him going. Don't let him get going. Then that can pressure A&M's passing game, and that feeds into our strong corners. Very similar game plan to Kentucky. So overall for this game, you know, there's no other way to slice it. It's a massive game, which I'm probably going to say for every game left on the season, but this one feels especially true. I mean, so far under Beamer, this team has played well at home, and we finally got the monkey off our back with the ranked win and the road SEC game last game. So now we get to see how does this team handle success. I'm not going to look back to last season and compare because this is a new group. But that was a question. Can you follow up a big win with yet another one? That's what separates the really good teams and the really good coaches. Can South Carolina bring the same edge as we saw against Kentucky? Can they start balanced and not get into an early hole? Can they manage the emotions in front of a raucous home crowd with the lights? Can they stay within themselves? Not press? You know, there's a lot of reasons to feel positive going into this game. It feels like a do or die moment in terms of the streak that we're facing with A&M. You know, that's a luxury that us fans can get caught up in, thinking about the streak and the importance of it. But all this team needs to worry about is playing up and playing up to a very talented SEC opponent. You can't get caught up in the record and how they've looked this year. I want to, but they have a team that is chock full of five-star guys, and they have an experienced coach. You got to play up to them. This is not going to be a cakewalk. I do feel that coming off the bye, though, at home, at night, this is all you could ask for if you're the Gamecocks, right? Willie B is going to be swaying. And the team has a half a season under its belt, playing with each other, playing in the system. And if they just play within themselves and match the effort and intensity as A&M, or imagine surpassing their effort and intensity, then maybe, just maybe, the stars are aligning once more for this team, and all we can do is cross our fingers and hope for some Willie B magic. I mean, let's freaking go. Let's bring home that stupid trophy for once. I'm tired of losing to this team. I swear to God I am. This is a moment. This is a talented team that we have. We've seen what they can do. Bring it for four quarters at home. Bring it early. Take them out of the game. If we can jump out and score early in the game and stop A&M early, take any win that they have. It's going to be a great one. Buckle up. I can't wait. So excited to be back, grinning ear to ear now. But before I wrap up here, I do have my six-pack of picks. For any new listeners, I do one game from each Power 5 conference and one from the Group of Five. I also never bet on South Carolina because I don't mix business with pleasure. ACC, give me Duke +9 at Miami. That game is at 12:30. Don't really know much about the Dukies, but they play close. Big 12, Kansas State at TCU, over 54 points. TCU, electric offense. Kansas State can score on their own. Pac-12, Colorado at Oregon State. Oregon State -23.5. Colorado stinks. Corvallis, Oregon is a tough place to play. Big 10, I don't love this pick, but I'm just doing it. The slate for the Big Ten is just meh. Give me Iowa at Ohio State -29. I just think Ohio State's going to be able to just beat the crap out of Iowa. Ole Miss, interesting game here. Give me Ole Miss, or SEC rather, Ole Miss +2 at LSU. That game's at 3:30. Yeah, feels like a close one, so I'm just going to take whoever got the points. And Group of Five, give me Cincinnati at SMU over 58.5. Going to be a fun weekend. With that, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.